This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's recording is from January 6th, 2019. As we begin our annual 21 days of prayer and fasting, Pastor Jeff brings a message on the topic. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Initially, and he's been doing more gradually, but one day all these new creations will be in a new heavens and a new earth, and will be in his presence, renewed completely with new bodies, no more diets, no more workouts, no more New Year's resolutions, and it's just going to be new, and it's going to be wonderful, amen? So God wants to do new things in you.
Just as we were finishing up worship, I saw this picture of Jesus, and before he showed me that, it was like all this stuff in our way, and we were on a path, and it was all this stuff, and I just saw Jesus going before us, like clearing it like this, and like physically clearing the things for us, and the key was though he was doing it with joy. We weren't walking in fear like, oh, what's he going to do? We were like, yes, pave the way, do it, and he's like, I'm doing it, my children, I'm clearing the way.
Yeah, thank you. Amen.
Yeah, so that's a good word.
Thank you.
It's a good word. Thank you,
Heather.
Thank you. Yes.
Trace, what'd you have, honey?
Well, in Ezekiel 36:26, it says that God would give us a new heart and a new spirit, and that he would replace our stony heart with a heart of flesh or a tender heart. And so I've been really praying that, and I've been praying that, and I feel like God, you know, there are stony places sometimes in our hearts. There are hard places in our hearts toward people, toward God, toward ourselves. And I really believe that God, in part of that, clearing that way, Heather, is going to show us. He's going to show us a new way of loving ourselves, of loving other people, of loving him. So again, that new, he's going to show us how to do that. But we have to take our stony hearts to the Lord and let him remove those places out of us. And you know what? And whatever God asks us to lay down, guys, what he has for us on the other side, so much greater than what we have to lay down.
That's right.
So anyway, bless you this morning. God is good. He's doing a new thing.
Amen. Can you give the Lord praise for that? Amen. Well, inside your bulletin's a little care and communication card. let's see.
I'm doing a workout.
Make sure you don't get the...
Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, care and communication card. If you're a guest today, or if you've never filled one of these out for us, you're kind of new, and we just want to get to know you, want to send you a welcome letter, want to get to know your names, and just be there for you however we possibly can as a church family. New way to give, push pay. Hey, here's some great news. Can't wait to absolutely share this with you this morning. Check this out. Check this out. Praise God. We made our goal on Harvest Project. Wow. It is so awesome. Our goal was $40,000 last week. We were somewhere in $35,000 range. And I mean, it's like the Lord just opened the floodgates and blessings came in, and people stepped up in some amazing ways. We had a challenge and people met the challenge and above. And now we have $44,240.80 to finish out 2018.
Praise God. He's good.
We'll be talking in the next couple of weeks about our Harvest Project 2019, and we'll tell you the goal for this year, but we just had to kind of focus this morning on celebrating the goodness of God.
Yes.
There's some really cool things that you guys don't even know, that God's opened the door for us as a church and some of our leadership to go to do some great training, to bring some great breakthrough and blessings to other nations. Mm-hmm. And we really weren't going to be able to do it unless God brought in extra. It's neat stuff that God is just doing here, opening the way. He's the way maker. Amen.
Yes, amen.
And I'm just overwhelmed and blessed by your generosity and your heart to want to make a difference all over this world and in this city and to our neighbors. Your hearts are just amazing.
Yes.
Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you.
Man, it's making a difference. And we're so blessed. Heather, so good to see you and Cody and little Landon this morning. We've been praying for you guys so much. And we got to be there the other day, and it was so much fun. I loved being on the hospital floor.
We were on the floor with Landon.
Playing Hot Wheels with Landon. Man,
he likes
I love
the airplane.
That. That was awesome. I was a tunnel, and it was just really cool. We were having fun. I'm glad you guys are out of the hospital. Yes. He's doing better, and we're praying that complete healing for little Landon. By the way, the Barrs, Mike and Amy Barr, who pastor our church in Mount Washington, one of our daughter churches, Lifeline, their daughter Ashley was rushed into the hospital just a couple of nights ago, emergency, and she has a bad infection in a kidney that's already kind of compromised by some health challenges she's had, and I know they would really, really appreciate your prayers.
Yeah, pray for her.
So we're going to pray over our offering today and thank God for his generous blessing for Harvest Project. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the way you just, God, when our hearts land with your heart, it's just amazing stuff that you do.
Yes.
When we begin to be generous like you're generous, God, you can just flow through us in ways that make such a difference around this world. And God, you've called this body to give way beyond its size. The vision, the passion here. Lord, I believe we're going to celebrate one day when over $1 million has cumulatively been given into kingdom work. And God, thank you for meeting that Harvest Project goal. Thank you for not only meeting it, but exceeding it by over $4,000+. Making a way, God, to even do additional ministries and touch additional hearts and just do great stuff for your kingdom. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, bless the offering this morning. May it be enough and may it make a difference, God, in many hearts and lives. And Lord, we pray for little Ashley, that you'd touch her, that you'd heal her, that you'd help her, God. You'd bring healing to that kidney. You'd be with Mike and Amy. You'd touch and bless their family. Lord, we love you. As we enter into 2019, may we be pleasing to you in all of our ways. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 God bless you as you give this morning. Hey, 21 days of prayer and fasting right here in the morning. 7 a.m., Tracy and I will be here. Lights on and worship playing and looking forward to a time of prayer together. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the next 3 weeks, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. 1 hour sharp, we'll end with communion, and we'd love to have you come out and be a part with us. It's a great time, isn't it, honey?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. It's wonderful. And to be able to pray together, we have seen breakthroughs, and just encourage you all. If you have time, please come. Even if you can't come the whole hour, come for a little bit. It's amazing to be able to be together and pray and see God move.
Yeah. Great way to start the day and, you know, on the way to work. So, and then Growth Track is coming Sunday, February 3rd. If you haven't signed up for that, small groups, be praying about being a part of small groups coming up in February. Lots of great stuff happening. Youth camp coming up. See Zach and Ada on that. And, well, need to dive into the word this morning. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're time-wise, we got a little bit of challenge in front of us, but we're going to have a good time. I can't wait to share what the Lord has put on my heart with you today. And I've entitled today's message just very simply, 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. I don't know that I could have came up with really a better title, maybe a more catchy one, but it is who we are, it is what we're doing, and it is what we're inviting every single one of you to be a part of. I was thinking this morning as I was preparing and somebody asked me sometime, are you done preparing your message, Pastor Jeff? And I said, it's never done until it's preached. So God's always speaking to, even right now, I'm going to be listening to what God might want to add in right here, okay? But I was thinking this morning, Tracy and I have literally been praying and fasting. Honey, have you thought about this? We've been praying and fasting to begin the new year for over 30 years. Over 30 years, that's been a discipline that she and I have done every single year without fail. And this church was started with a heart to fast and pray. And you've heard me say this before. My good friend Greg Diedrich says this, and I believe there's so much truth in it. What you build with, you have to maintain with. And if you build things in the flesh, and a lot of churches do, they do all kinds of cool stuff and, to attract people. I saw something the other day where somebody's giving away a trip to Disney World or something, and But what you build with and attract people with, that's what you have to end up maintaining things with. And one of the things that I just give God praise for is that from the very beginning of this church, it's been built on a foundation of prayer and fasting. Right from the beginning, 25 years ago, we celebrated 25 years in 2018, we were fasting and praying at the beginning of each year. And that's kind of built and grown. We started doing missions right off the bat. We started in late October, and we had our first mission team on the field in November. And then we had a second mission team on the field in December of that very first year of the church. Some people didn't think it could be possible, but that was how God was building the DNA of this church, that we would be a church that had a heart for missions and for reaching people and reaching beyond our own selves with the good news of Jesus Christ's love and power. We started from the beginning with discipleship and freedom. So this morning, me standing before you and calling you to a time of prayer and fasting, this is something really very natural for us. But for some of you here this morning, fasting might be something really foreign to you, really a foreign concept. For some odd reason, and I guess if I were to guess what the reason is, the enemy's always looking to short-circuit the church. The enemy's always looking to take things away that are especially powerful that would bring breakthrough and blessing in your life. And it's like fasting got lost somewhere in church history. In the beginning, fasting was such a regular routine part of the church in the beginning, but somewhere along the way it became a lost art and a discipline. And a lot of people know about prayer, but there's something about prayer and fasting. When you put those two together, that creates a dynamic in the spirit that's really hard to explain, but it's very powerful. Let me show you some things quickly. Matthew chapter 9. Let's start with Jesus. That's always a good place to start since he's God. Amen? Let's start with Jesus. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "Well, how can the guests of the bridegroom," he's referring to himself as the bridegroom, "how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn?" Note that word, by the way. Very interesting word when we're thinking about fasting. "How can they mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will," and read that word, "fast." After Jesus' time here on earth, introducing the kingdom of God to us, coming with the message of salvation, he said, you know, when I'm taken away, my bride, the church, is going to fast. They're going to long for me. They're going to even mourn for my return. I don't know if you ever feel that, but I do at times. He's the bridegroom, and we're a part of the groom, thank the Lord, but I'm seeking his face. I am longing for his return. So fasting becomes this pattern and this habit of the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 13, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. I call this the prayer meeting that changed the world. Literally, you can trace your salvation here today back to that prayer meeting. This is the beginning of the missionary movement in the New Testament church, where Paul is being sent out, Barnabas, and from there the world ends up being reached. The Gentiles are, the gospel's taken to the Gentiles. But fasting and prayer becomes a common practice in the New Testament church. The New Testament church, it was foundational. They fasted and they prayed. And by the way, this changed the world. It literally changed the world of its day. If you'd been there in that day and time, you would have looked at the Roman Empire, which was the greatest empire to ever set up, so to speak, on this earth up until that time. And you would have never believed in a million years that this small band of Christians who were fasting and praying would eventually overturn that Roman Empire. But all things are possible with God. And this band of devoted disciples some say the New Testament church, when we read things like the Didache, which is the early teaching of the church, they're fasting and praying 2 days a week. 2 days a week with regularity. This is just a part of the practice, a part of the foundation, a part of the birthing of the church. They fasted and they prayed together. What about the Apostle Paul? When we just even look at in a personal sense, an individual practice in 2 Corinthians 11:27, it says, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, read it with me, fastings often. You guys looking? Yeah, you can see it right there. In other words, it's a regular part. This isn't something unusual. This isn't something abnormal. This isn't something that you and I should look at and go, ooh, I don't know, that's just for the super spiritual. No, this is for every Christian to draw closer to God, to get once again lined up with God's heart and God's will. I don't know about you, I tend to get off. I tend to lose focus. I don't think I have ADD, but sometimes spiritually it seems like I do. You know, I seek the Lord, and then I kind of fall into a predictable pattern, and then I kind of lose a little bit of passion, and somewhere along the way, God has to kind of get a hold of me and reset me, realign me, if you will. See, fasting is one of those things that it's really about the three parts of you. You are like God is. God is a triune being, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. You're a three-part person, body, soul, and spirit. You have a body, every one of you. You have within you a soul, which is your mental capacity, your emotions, your will. And you have a spirit. When you became a Christian, your spirit got born again. Your spirit reconnected with God, where there'd been a separation and a death that had happened through sin. When you became a Christian, that's the part of you that became new again, your spirit. Now, what's interesting is, and the Bible teaches this, and we could go much more in depth about this, but those three parts of you within every one of us are really constantly in a competition, if you will, to see who's going to lead. Is your body going to be in the lead? Is your flesh, soul going to be in the lead? Thank you for helping me there. You know, in fact, let's just take those two and kind of simplify the equation just a little bit. Your body and your soul really makes up, those two components make up what the Bible calls your flesh. And the Bible talks a lot, if you read the book of Romans and in other places, it talks about this battle between your flesh and the spirit. There's constantly a battle between those two. And listen, I heard it put this way one time. It was one of the neatest illustrations I'd ever heard. It's like there's a black dog and a white dog within every one of us. The black dog representing our flesh, the white dog representing our spirit. And you know who's going to win the battle? Those two are at a battle. They're fighting constantly. You know which one's going to win? The one you feed the most. So if you were to think about this with me, you know what I mean by your body and your soul, your flesh, trying to have control of you. Some of us become controlled by our emotions. You know, it whether we have a good day or not has to do with circumstances and how things are going and whether we got out of the bed on the right side of the bed today and whether people were nice to us throughout the day and, if everything went our way and the car started and there were no problems and no breakdowns and no challenges. And a lot of us, we're just led by our body and our soul, our flesh, instead of our spirit. And Jesus says, the Bible says, we're to be people who are led by the Spirit. How are you led by the Spirit? When you feed your spirit man, when you feed that spirit part of you, when you day in and day out allow that to grow, when you put down actually the body and the soul in the sense that you take care of them, but you don't let them lead. They're not meant to be in the leadership role in your life. How many of you are understanding what I'm saying here? They're not meant to lead you. They're meant to serve you. They're meant to be there to help you. Thank God you have a body. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here this morning. Thank God you have a mind and emotions and a will. Those things are good. But they can absolutely take control And people who lead a defeated life spiritually are people who live by their flesh primarily and not by their spirit. Let me say that again, because you need to really think about that. People who lead a defeated life spiritually. How many of you have ever, you know, don't raise your hands on this, and please don't bump somebody beside you on this. But, you know, how many of you have ever been in the church and gone, man, I know they're Christians, but man, they just don't ever seem to have any victory. They don't ever seem to have any joy. You know, you want to have a depressing day, just get around them, you know, because they're going to tell you all the bad news. You know, that's a person who's living by their flesh, not by the Spirit. God didn't mean for it to be that way. He means for us to live with our spirit in that primary place, and our flesh and our soul submitted to our spirits. So, I want to share with you this morning three types of fasts and just tell you a little bit about what we're going to declare during these 21 days of prayer and fasting. So there's three types of fast that the Bible basically lays out for us. The first one's called a complete fast. A complete fast would be no food whatsoever, okay? And primarily water, maybe some juice. Listen, let me just say, before you enter into, you know, any kind of the more radical styles of fasting, you really should make sure that you consult your doctor, that you go through the right precautions. Some of you are on medicines. There's some of you that you know, this could be a challenge to you, and you need to absolutely consult your doctor and make sure they give you approval. But a complete fast is doable, and it's powerful. And yes, after 4 or 5 days, you'll feel like you're dying. But you won't. You'll live, and you'll get breakthroughs. It's amazing. Tracy and I can tell you stories of literally how God has guided our lives. We wouldn't be here today, I don't believe, if we hadn't have fasted and prayed and seen God open doors and do things that would have never happened. By the way, a complete fast is a great detox for your body. I mean, you know, give it a few days and watch what happens when you start coming off of caffeine and sugar. Again, you're going to feel like you're dying, but you're not. Your body's actually being cleansed from these toxins that are so used to being there. And it's going to be healthy for you and helpful. You need to drink a lot of water. You know, sometimes it's good to add a little bit of juice. Not the wrong kind of juice, you know. You ever got one of those juices and you turn the label around? 3% juice. You're like, what's the other 97% sugar? You know, again. So, you know, I'm talking 100% juice. There's also what's called a partial fast. You know, a partial fast can be anything from one meal a day or two meals a day. Or, you know, the Jewish custom was sun up to sundown. That's a pretty good way to approach it. Just eat the evening meal. You know, maybe you're giving up certain things within the fast that God has spoke to you. You know, Tracy came to me and said she was giving up Brussels sprouts. I said, honey, you don't eat Brussels sprouts anyway. I mean, that's not a fast, baby. See, I got to get to know my wife better. But anyway, no, I mean, you know, my point is, don't fast something you don't eat anyway. That's not a fast. This is about giving something up that, quite honestly, would be, you know, your link to life, so to speak. My wife did kind of get on me this week because, you know, I heard of one church, they were doing a particular type of fast, and it had nothing to do with food whatsoever. And I'm going, I understand that, but biblically it always has something to do with food. Because food is what sustains us. Food is what keeps us alive. And it's literally saying, God, I desire you and your word more than the bread that keeps me alive. You know, remember what Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You want to hear some things from the Lord's heart, fast. Deny yourself. There's a mourning that's a part of this. I mean, I get excited about it and people look at me weird. I know, and I guess I am kind of weird, but I get excited about this because I know it's going to be hard, but it's going to be good. It's going to be really, really powerful. I'm going to meet God in some ways I wouldn't meet him otherwise. I'm going to hear from him in some ways I wouldn't hear from him otherwise. He's going to show me some things that if I was just casually seeking him, I would miss. So I want to encourage you, give up something, make it sacrificial. as unto the Lord. Yeah, you can give up sweets. You know, for some of you, that'd be a big thing. That'd be a really big thing. You know, for some of you, that's one of the major food groups, you know. I mean, sweets, candy, you know, desserts. There's also what's called a Daniel fast, and we'll actually read a little passage there from Daniel here later in the message, but, you know, this is really popular now, and there's a great book out there on the Daniel fast, more than one, actually, but Rick Warren led his whole church in a time of the Daniel fast, and it's basically giving up the pleasant things. You know, Daniel gave up the meat and the red wine and the things that were kind of the rich and pleasurable foods and ate, you know, the vegetables and the fruits and things like that instead. So it's about denying your flesh so that your spirit man can rise up and take that rightful leadership position in your life. So you can become who God's called you to be. And this is what I talk about when I'm saying about alignment. So this morning, how many of you are familiar with this document that we have here in the United States called the Declaration of Independence? How many of you have heard that, read that? Great document. Thank God it frames our nation so wonderfully. But this morning, I want to talk to you about what I might call the Declaration of Dependence. Of dependence. Because when we talk about prayer and fasting, really what we're talking about is entering into a new level of dependence on God. So that we're not following our feelings. I mean, when you start fasting, you're going to feel it's going to be challenging at times. But as people of God, we don't follow our feelings, we follow principles. We follow truth. We follow the revelation of God. Bible says without revelation, people just, they kind of go wild. They kind of live a life any way they want to. But it's been revealed to us how we're to seek God, how we're to follow him. And I want, in these 21 days, I want to declare personally a complete dependence on God. Because I'm just going to be absolutely honest with you. I can't even do this role. I can't really be your pastor and be a good pastor, a good leader, have vision, have passion without being totally dependent on God. I guess I'd say it this way. This is way over my talent and skill level. I can't do it. I feel really inadequate to the task. I need the Lord. There's a lot of things like that in my life. There are times I don't feel up to parenting. I mean, if you know what I mean, thank God I'm not the only one. There's sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I feel, I just am challenged. Sometimes, I mean, Tracy makes it really easy on me, but sometimes I don't know how to be a good husband. I'm like, God, help me. I really want to be good everything you've called me to be. I guess I'd say it this way, guys. I'm desperate for God. And I think in the scripture there's this thing that we would call the principle of the first. And we can spend a lot of time unpacking this. I won't right now. But God teaches us to put him first in all things. It's why the Bible says over and over that in regard to the tithe, you're to bring it on the first day of the week. It's why in regard to the tithe, it says you're to give the first fruits. It's why the early church called Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that we would worship. Because God desires to be first in your life. It's the first of the year. What better way to start it than to say, God, I'm going to give you the first, you know, it's not literally the first 21 days. We gave you a few days to get over your holiday binge. But we're going to give you the first part of this year, and we're going to seek you with all of our hearts. Because quite honestly, the way we start this year, if we start it with a good foundation, we start it with a heart for God, listen, you will ride the wave of God's blessing throughout the remainder of the year. Anybody want to say amen to that? Joel 1:14. Look at this. So I'm talking about this declaration of dependence upon God. Here's what Joel says. Declare a holy fast. Everybody say it with me. Declare a holy fast. Oh man, let me give you five things. If you look at fasting in the Bible, and there's powerful stuff, it's a great study. Every time people fast and seek God for the right reasons with the right heart, God answers. Every time in the Bible. There's one time. There's one time where there's a fast. It doesn't happen. I don't know how many of you know that. I use this sometimes as a quiz question for folks. It's when David had sinned with Bathsheba and he prays the baby will live and the baby doesn't. But every other time, when there's a sincere heart, prayer and fasting, God moves. God works. I don't understand it all. I'm not here to try to explain all of it to you. But when you look at fasting in the Bible, there are some themes that become common. And I've never shared this with you before. I want to share with you what I think are five really powerful themes that throughout this 21 days, we together as a body can declare a holy fast and declare dependence on God and declare these five themes in our lives for 2019. The first one is simply this. It's declaring revival for our nation. All right, really tough question here. How many of you think America could use revival? All right, well, that's about half of you. The other half of you must think we're doing really well. I've never seen our country so divided. I've never seen our country so saturated with unhealthy stuff. I've never seen our, you know, I don't know how our kids do it. Kids, hey, young people out there who are serving God faithfully, my hat goes off to you. I don't know how you do it with the access to the stuff that you guys have. Thank God you're guarding your hearts. Thank God you have good parents and a pastor and others that are hopefully telling you to guard your heart and to be careful about what you let your little eyes see. Because there's access to stuff out there that's unprecedented. And I tell you this, the enemy is absolutely waging war against this generation and every generation alive right now in a way that absolutely makes my head spin. America needs God. And one of the things that's been cool about our country is that throughout its history, God has been faithful to again and again meet us with what we've even termed great awakenings. And I think it's time for the greatest awakening in our nation. Come on, give the Lord praise. I shared with you last week about our soon coming King Jesus, who I believe could come in our lives. And I told you that the church is growing all over the world. There's only 20 nations in this world where the church is not growing. And sadly enough, the United States of America is one of those 20. That absolutely says something about our need. We need to seek God like we've never sought Him before. We need to declare revival for this nation. We need to believe that God is going to meet us and bring an awakening. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'm just going to skip through this real quick and give you just a little bit of history. But God raises up the prophet Samuel. And you know, the prophet that preceded him is Eli. And please don't take offense at this at all. But it's really interesting if you kind of look at Eli and his life and kind of the pattern and kind of the symbology of Eli. The Bible goes so far to say that Eli was fat. Now, you know, I'm kind of fat myself. I'm not in any way, shape, or form making fun of anyone who's overweight. It's just that there's something prophetic and powerful about the fact that the Bible points that out. Because quite honestly, what it's saying is that he'd become lazy in his duties. He'd become neglectful. He hadn't even parented his kids the way he should have. He kind of became a man who was spiritually slothful, so to speak. He got lazy in his spiritual duties. He wasn't seeking God the way he should anymore. And because of this, the nation suffers. He's the one that's supposed to be keeping the nation on the right track. And Samuel rises up and says, hey, if you're going to return to the Lord, return with all your hearts. Rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord. Serve Him only, and He'll deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. They've been overtaken by, you know, a foreign nation. And it says, on that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we've sinned against the Lord. One of the things that needs to be a part of our fast is every day we're just coming and asking God to search our hearts. Asking God to freshly shine His light on my heart. What are the stony parts of my heart that He wants to bring alive? What are the sinful things that I've allowed in? What are the things that He wants to remove It's time for America to return to God. Time to get rid of the foreign gods. And what are the foreign gods? We don't call them Ashtoreth. We call them, you know, social media. We call them material possessions. We call them, you know, all kinds of different things that will absolutely fill the vacuum and fill the void, so to speak, when we allow God to drift out of our lives. What about, for some of us, and I'm talking to me too, what about a social media fast? What about adding that to giving up some type of food? What about getting off? Last night I made my last post, 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm sorry, I'm off here. I need to be off there. What about a TV fast for some? What is it that you can give up during these days to declare revival for our nation that will draw you closer to God? Only you can answer that, and I'm not trying to put anything on you, but I'm asking you to be asking those type of questions. What do you need to confess and repent that's taken your first place, your first love? Passage. When I got to the end of Revelation, or the it just hit me again like a fresh revelation. Jeff, what about your first love? Have you lost it? Have you left it? Do you need to return? Do you need to go back? In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln declared a national fast for our country, the United States of America. After that, you study the history, were some of the best years in the United States of America. Right, you know, in the midst of that, we were in the middle of a horrific civil war. But after that, the years following were some of the best years in our nation ever. 4 years later, after he declared that national fast, Russia sold us Alaska for $7.2 million. You know what? That comes out to about 2 cents an acre. How many of you think that was a pretty good deal? And would have liked to have been able to snatch up, you know, a couple hundred acres there in beautiful Denali or somewhere. I know Pastor Bert's back there going, yeah, boy, I like to have some Alaskan acreage. We had 28 years of a surplus of our budget following that time of fasting as a nation. 28 years. You go back and look, some of the best inventions that ever came about occurred during that period. Now, I would say you can connect the dots, folks, and the blessings of fasting and seeking God first bring incredible breakthroughs, incredible blessings. 2 Chronicles, you know this scripture, if my people, it's almost like, will they not? If they will, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And listen, fasting is humbling. It's really humbling. If you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We need to declare a revival for our nation. Secondly, we need to declare freedom from bondage. Freedom from bondage. What's that area of your life that quite honestly just plagues you? It just seems like it won't let you go. It's like that dog that's grabbed hold of your pant leg and you just can't get it to let go of your leg. And it's like, let go. The Bible calls it a besetting sin. What is it? I'm telling you, God wants to free you from it. God wants to bring freedom in that area. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 through 21, says the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? The story is there was a little boy and he would throw into the fire, and they were seeing miracles, and yet when they came to this one, nothing was happening. And they couldn't get a breakthrough. And Jesus says, this kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. In one of the versions of this, he says, oh, you wicked, you perverse and unbelieving generation. And I think those are two things. We could spend more time on this, but unbelieving and perverse. What's unbelieving mean? It means you're not connected enough to God. What's perverse mean? It means you're too connected to this world. You hear what I'm saying? Literally, perverse means bent. The things of this world are just bent. They're out of shape. You know, I'm just going to just be honest with you. Sometime back, Tracy and I We have Amazon Prime. I don't know how many of you have Amazon Prime. I love getting those things delivered to my door within a day. It's pretty cool. And I found out, you know, hey, I also have this Prime Video. So I thought, and I got on there, and man, it looked like all these shows that just look like amazing shows, you know. And boy, they're touting this one, and they're touting that one. And I didn't even actually know what the MA rating meant. It's a different rating, you know. I'm familiar with PG and PG-14 and R and those kind of things. And I've known for a long time that God's convicted me I'm supposed to stay away from R, because there's stuff there that I don't need to see that's not going to be healthy for my spirit. But I wasn't really familiar with MA. I'm thinking, what's MA? You know, is that like the MMA or, you know, what is that? Yeah, tune this show on, and I'm telling you, within 1 minute, my spirit was slammed, and I'm going, what is the deal here? Why? I'm just being honest with you, and this is my own personal opinion. You can agree with me or not. But stuff like Netflix and stuff like Amazon Prime and maybe Hulu, I don't know, some of these other subscription services, you know what they've done is they found a way to get around network TV ratings to bring more pornography into our homes. I'm just being honest. I'm sorry, but it is absolutely true. I have found out, you know, through trial and error, I don't need to be watching anything that's MA. Because eventually, it might start out good, it's going to get bad pretty soon. And Pastor Jeff's going to feel very disconnected from God and very slimed and very ashamed. And I'm going to need to confess and repent because I just allowed something in that I shouldn't have. You know, let me put it this way. I know I'm trampling on, I don't know what I'm trampling on here. But anyway, you know, I don't understand it, guys. I just don't understand it. You know, how we can justify some of the things we justify. You know, Jesus says this, and this convicted me so deeply many years ago. Jesus said, I'm to approach him like a little child. And the old rating system said that PG-13 is not appropriate for kids that are under, 13 years old. And some of us are watching stuff that, man, if Jesus was sitting there with us, we'd be so embarrassed and so ashamed. You know, it used to be, I'm really going to go out there on this. But, you know, it used to, somebody who would sneak around to somebody's house and peer into their window used to be called a peeping Tom. How many of you ever heard that thing, you know? And that was very looked down upon, right? Because that was just perverted, is what that was. But now we do the very same thing. It's just a different window. We're sitting here watching some couple make love in the buff. How's that different than being a peeping, displeasing to God, not healthy for my spirit? How many of you hear what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. I mean, I want to declare freedom from bondage. I want this church to be about helping people find freedom. Anything I've just said, I don't mean it to be condemning in any way. I'm being confessional. I saw stuff. I was like, whoa. Man, it was like, okay, no more of that. I'm ready to declare freedom in every area of my life. I want to be free in Jesus' name. One of the words God's given me for our church for 2019 is freedom and fullness. And what I mean by fullness is fullness of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to skip this next verse, sorry. Let's declare blessing over trouble. Let's declare blessing over trouble. Whatever area of your life is in trouble. This is one of the themes of fasting in Scripture. Whether it's trouble in your finances, maybe it's lost prodigal children. that are troubling your heart. Maybe it's a lack of direction. You just don't have direction in your life like you need it right now. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your marriage. Safety. Whatever it is that's troubling you. Whatever keeps you up at night. If you'll fast and seek the Lord, He can give you direction and guidance. Ezra had to lead the people of God, including many women and their children, through a dangerous area. He was charged with taking 7,500 pounds of gold and 2 million pounds of silver to the city of Jerusalem. And it was a pretty good journey to get there. And it was well known that the roads that they would be traveling were full of thieves and bandits. So what did he do? He didn't go out and get a Smith and Wesson. He got on his knees and he called everybody to a time of prayer and fasting. Ezra 8:21, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and our children with all of our possessions. Listen, trouble comes in this life. There's trouble. Jesus said you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Listen, God can bless you in the midst of troubling times, in the midst of difficult situations. I don't know about you, but I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my kids that God will keep them from trouble. This morning, I don't know where our prayer cards are, if we've given them out or they're in the bulletin or we're going to give them out at the end or where they are. But I want everybody to have those prayer cards and be able to turn them in. We'll have our prayer board up here in a few days. And, you know, tomorrow morning we'll be praying over whatever you want us to pray over. So these guys, they're going to come and just give you a prayer card. Get one or two or however many you need. Fill it out. And we will faithfully pray with you for the trouble that's trying to bog you down, because God wants to give you blessing over trouble. Can you say amen to that? And He also wants, I'm declaring wisdom for my future. Did you know that a fast unto the Lord can help you to get the mind of God in a situation? Some of you, should I marry him? Should I not? Is he the right one? Is she the right one? Should I take this job? Should we move? Should we relocate to another city? You're praying for wisdom from God. Listen, God sees ahead. God knows what's best for you. Pray for me, by the way. When you think about Tracy and I, pray for us. We constantly need wisdom. We want to be in the center of God's will. Saul got saved on the road to Damascus. I'm going to quickly go through this passage. But for 3 days he was blind. He didn't eat or drink anything. There's a fast. And guess what happens? Ananias comes and prays for him, and immediately scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. Some of you, in the midst of a time of fasting, God wants to remove some scales that have been there that have blinded you and you have not seen clearly, so that you can have wisdom for your future, so that you can know God's plan, so that confusion goes and opportunities from God's heart come your way. Amen? Come on, I'm preaching better than your amen. And come on, and then number five, declaring victory over my enemy. A time of fasting is a declaration of victory over the enemy. You may not realize this, but 51% of Christians in America today say they don't even believe they have an enemy. Do you know that? That's the latest polling. 51% don't even believe that there is a devil. Let me just tell you, folks, I don't think that's most of you. I'm telling you, there's a battle going on, and it's constant. And the Bible makes it very clear there's an enemy who, like a lion, is prowling about looking for someone to devour. And listen, just because you don't believe in the enemy doesn't mean he's not going to attack you and take advantage of you. How many of you know what I'm saying? Actually, it makes his job just a whole lot easier. Oh, they don't believe in me. Great. Man, I can really get in there. And I can really cause havoc and really cause trouble. We have an enemy, but listen, folks, it's even more important that we understand we have a victory. We have a victory. In Daniel chapter 10, this is the very thing where the Daniel fast is really introduced. Later in the verse there, it says, at that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat, no wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions until the whole 3 weeks were over. And this Daniel fast, you read the whole portion, it's a war in the heavenlies. It's a war against those things of the enemy that would attack you, that would hold you back, that would try to make your life insignificant. God's called you to live a significant life, to leave a legacy, to make a difference. This Daniel fast, whatever fast, is gonna bring you to a place where God gives you victory over the enemy and over his tactics. And in verses 18 and 19, Daniel has this visitation from God. It says, and again, the one who looked like a man, he touched me and he gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now, be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you've given me strength. Listen, trouble's coming. This world, there's plenty of trouble. You know, I don't mean to be a naysayer in any way, shape, or form. I want to be a good pastor to you. But I also, my job is to help you understand, to know what's coming your way so that you can absolutely walk in victory through it. How many of you hear what I'm saying? If I were to get up here and just tell you, oh, it's going to be easy and there's going to be no problems in 2019. No, there's an enemy who's all about trying to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his focus. But you and I have a God who has absolutely defeated him and who will defeat him as we seek our hearts after God, as we align our hearts with God. Greater is he that is in you, church, than he that's in this world. Amen? You can be safe. Listen, you don't have to be a victim. You can be safe in the arms of the victor as you seek him. He'll give you strength. He'll give you freedom from bondage. He'll give you blessing over trouble, wisdom for your future, and victory over the enemy. So, amen. I'm inviting you into a season, 21 days of prayer and fasting. Whatever it is the Lord speaks to you. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to close like this. The ushers are going to come and bring communion. And I'm going to invite you to receive communion as we close our time together today. Would you stand? Everybody stand with me. And I've gone way over today, so please forgive me. But I just am passionate about getting this to you. By the way, there's some stuff in your bulletin I absolutely want you to pay attention to that will be a help to you in this time. There's encourage your personal renewal with prayer and fasting. And then why we fast and pray. And then 10 questions to ask at the start of the year. Actually, there's more than 10. They're really good. You should use them as you're really getting into this new year. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rich. Appreciate that. How many of you are ready to enter into a season, a declaration of dependence upon God? Declaring his victory. Amen. Amen. All right, then come on up. Come on up. Some of you can stay up here. You can return to your seats, whichever you like. But everybody get the elements of communion. We're going to end together receiving communion. Listen, just take a few minutes. Once you get those elements, take a few minutes before the Lord. If you need to confess anything, if you need to get your heart right before him, do that. Hallelujah. Can we get a little bit of instrumental music up there, possibly, guys? Just to kind of, a little bit of background, some instrumental stuff, just to... Oh, here we go. Momo's coming. She's gonna bless us with some beautiful piano. Thank you, Momo. Well, I was listening to, is it Abba's Shadow? Is that right? Oh, that was a blessing to me this week, by the way. If you haven't heard that, you should. Really powerful.
This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for letting us share this message with you. May God bless you in constant and powerful ways. If you would like a copy of today's podcast, please send us an email to nslk@nslk.org. God bless.